Hare Krishna. The Lord does not belong to any dynasties. All dynasties belong to Him. One of the intriguing aspects of God, as described in the Bhakti tradition, is that although He is supremely transcendental, He is also eminently accessible. And reconciling His transcendence, His farness and His nearness can often dazzle the intelligence, can often make the intelligence dizzy. And ultimately it is understood not with the head but with the heart. Not with the analytical head but with the devoted heart. And one aspect which needs to be understood with the devoted heart is how when Krishna descends to this world, He appears to be a member of a particular dynasty. Say for example, when He descends as Krishna, He appears to be the member of the Vrishni dynasty. And yet, he appears in the Vrishni dynasty and then goes to Vrindavan and again comes back. Sometimes He is called a member of Nanda's dynasty of cowherds. But whichever way, whether it be cowherds or whether it be the kings, but Krishna appears to be the member of one particular dynasty. And yet, if He were just a member of one dynasty, then He would not be God. He has appeared as a member of one dynasty, but He is transcendental. He is like the sun which may appear from the eastern direction, but the sun does not belong to the eastern direction. The sun existed long before it appeared in the eastern direction, and the sun is independent. So similarly, Krishna is supremely independent. Another example that the Srimad Bhagavatam gives in its 8th chapter, 1st canto, is that it states how Malayasya Chandanam, that Chandan, sandalwood, can be found many places, but it is especially found in Malaya. And because it is found in Malaya, so it is considered, it is associated with Malaya. Just this cologne, a particular fragrance is associated with perfume is associated with a particular place, but it remains different and it can be made anywhere else also. So similarly, Krishna can manifest in any dynasty that He wants. And He, rather than belonging to any particular dynasty, He actually transcends all dynasties and He belongs, rather than belonging to any dynasty, rather all dynasties belong to Him. In the Bhagavad Gita 10 chapter 6 text, He says that mad bhava manasa jata yesham loka ima praja. He says maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha mad bhava manasa jata yesham loka ima praja. In 10.6 He says maharshaya sapta purve sapta, the six maharishis purve, in the beginning they appeared. Chatvaro manavastatha, and the four manus also. Madbhava manasa jata, they all appeared from me. Yesham lokaima prajaha, and from them the whole universe has become populated. So the point Krishna makes here is that the population of the universe happens by through these primary progenitors, who later on expand and populate the universe. So in all dynasties come from them and they come from Krishna. So in that sense, all dynasties belong to Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. He is the source of all dynasties also. And thus, when we understand His transcendence, we also appreciate His munificence in becoming manifested in this world in particular dynasty. So those dynasties are definitely fortunate that Krishna manifests there, and we are fortunate that by manifesting thus, Krishna grants us access to Him. So while appreciating His closeness as He is manifested from the earth, if you also remember His transcendence, then we can truly, we understand Him in truth, become devoted to Him and attain Him. As Krishna Himself says in 4.9 in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. Those who know the divine, divya, transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, they do not take birth again in this world, but they attain me. Thank you. Hare Krishna.